all along the Ohio River, there were wayside towns for travelers as trans-shipping places for goods and service from the inland. Parkersburg was one of those kinds of towns. Everybody who lived inland from Parkersburg could bring their goods where they could be shipped to wherever they were needed. Various products, salt, beef and mutton and meat products could be shipped that way, as well as wool and grain.
And the towns boomed, you know, Beverly boomed. It was the crossroads.
Initially, the road was planned to come to Huttonsville and then cross the mountain at that point. And Beverly was the county seat and the largest population center in the area and probably had the highest number of influential businessmen. So the businessmen were able to raise $4,000 and have the road extended northward from Huttonsville to Beverly, where it then crossed Rich Mountain. Crossing at Huttonsville would have been a more direct route over to Buckhannon, and the elevation of the mountain was probably a little less at that point, so it might have been a more logical first choice for the turnpike. But road building is often influenced by politics rather than transportation needs.
Beverly was the most active area in this county, named for Beverly Randolph, who was governor of Virginia at that time.
And you hear accounts of people from Virginia, and they refer to it as a little backwater town. But for the frontier, for the area, it was really quite prosperous. There's a description by Thomas Arnold, who was the son of Laura Arnold, Stonewall Jackson's sister, who lived in Beverly. And Thomas was a teenager at the time of the Civil War. And he later wrote quite a lot, and he was a very articulate man. But he describes Beverly before the war as a bustling town with stagecoaches coming and going and
two hotels, some half dozen stores carrying general merchandise, tri-weekly stagecoaches drawn by four horses from Stanton, from Weston, and from Fairmont, making good time. Horses being changed every 10 to 12 miles, going day and night. Their approach to the town being heralded by the blowing of a trumpet carried by the driver. Such notice enabled the citizens to gather at the hotels to see the arrival of guests and get the latest news.
Sure's a nice day for it, though, huh?
And to have the hostler out with fresh horses and the postmaster to have his mailbags ready.
There were tailors and tanneries and toy makers, and it was the county seat. You know, all these farming communities from around, the settled farms in the valleys and the more subsistence farms up on the hillside, and everybody would come to town for whatever they needed for their trade, and this was the lifeblood of this isolated community.
This was the busiest county seat between Stanton and Parkersburg.
This transportation boom really sort of changed the face of Stanton. By the 1830s, by a lot of accounts, Stanton had become stagnated. Nobody was really building new buildings. The streets were sort of muddy and mucky, and the people had to mix with all the animals running around in the streets, and the sidewalks weren't maintained, so they had to slog through the mud. Although it wasn't by any means a ghost town, there were hat makers and cabinet makers and four or five bars, taverns. So it was a crossroads community, but not exceptionally prosperous. And that changed with the coming of the turnpike. There was a building boom. All of a sudden, all these nice Greek Revival houses came in. This was the crossroads for where mail was exchanged and dropped off and redistributed. Great teams of wagons and horses would come through. And just in a matter of years, Stanton put up a new courthouse. They added many new businesses. They brought a secure water source into the town. There were two or three educational institutions that were founded, and really a lot of it was part of this big boom that happened. And when the turnpike went through what's now Highland County, of course, it created Highland County. They had felt like they were left out of what was happening in either Pendleton or Bath because they were far away from the county seats. And when the turnpike cut right through the middle, the people living right around where the turnpike is, they're all of a sudden economically prosperous, and it sort of was a movement, if you want, on a county level, that they were going to be their own entity, and Highland County was formed. Monterey became a stopping off point for travelers who were going west. And you see, a little bit later, of course, turn of the century photographs of Monterey, I've seen several where the streets are filled with sheep.
You know, Highland County is landlocked. Prior to the Stanton to Parkersburg Pike, it was difficult for people in this area to get their products to market. Stanton was the only place people could take their animals or any product, maple syrup, deer hams, to trade for salt and sugar and coffee, the necessities.
Granddad sold maple syrup, and they sold apples, and it's hard to tell what all, whenever they went to Stanton. If they took something and sold it, they probably got a little money. And if they didn't, they would probably just trade it for stuff that they had to have.
There are descriptions of, in the fall, drovers bringing huge herds of fattened cattle out of the mountains, which would be along the Parkersburg Turnpike, bringing them down, selling some of them in the market towns of Stanton, for instance, and taking some of them on east over the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Hundreds of cattle in one drive. And if you met a cattle drive coming through, all you could do is just stop and let them pass through. It filled up the road. It took over completely. They drove cattle for great distances to get on the railroad. It was too far for one day, so they'd have to stop and spend the night someplace. All these cattle wouldn't stop at a farm and be taken care of there by the farmer.
Farmers would raise corn and leave enough standing in the field that they could sell it to the drovers as they camped out for the night by the roads.
Well, yeah, they used to drive a lot of stock. That's the way they moved a lot of the stock. Yes, that takes time driving cows. A lot of them had dogs, you know, along and kept them kind of in line.
A Rex Road that lived up in Durban was a young boy. He drove turkeys to Stanton to market from here in Pocahontas County. And he was able to do this in about 2 days. He said they would get about halfway over, maybe close to McDowell, and the turkeys would just fly up into the trees to roost when it was dark, and they knew that was the time to stop, spend the night. And when the turkeys woke up then the next morning, they just kind of fluttered down out of the trees and back onto the road, and they just kept pushing them on forward to market.
It was funny to me to see whole flocks of turkeys walked across the mountain.